Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second.
The whistle is gone. Strand, and Slider Rover is out of your back.
By the riverside,
well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Very tight and drives the plane out over the fence. Out in that field of corn.
Episode 5, lads. Welcome to Clooney. How are you this week?
All good, Edo. Good to be here.
Boys are back in town.
You've had a good week, yeah?
Yeah, I can't complain now. Some good news there during the week. Restrictions been lifted.
Great news. Ross?
Yes.
Bit of four lights this night, did you?
Bit of four nights last night, yeah. I've been thinking for a couple of weeks that I really wanted to go down that nostalgia trip. And feck it, I went for it yesterday.
What you got?
Big four, curry cheese chips. Ooh. Yeah. Made the missus get just a portion of big four sauce with her chips. Right, so I could enjoy them as well.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
I had one myself last Thursday, I think, the first one since it opened up. Marty, you don't think it's the same?
Probably a bit harsh, yeah, but I suppose it probably isn't.
Put me on the spot.
I've had a snack box. I'll give it a second go, though. I've had one snack box since it reopened.
There's something I have a theory on it. Go ahead.
We're not drunk, either.
They changed the oil.
No. I think it tasted very similar to what we remembered.
Right.
But I think the quality of takeaways has improved greatly since those days.
Around the town, like?
Around the town, yeah. A lot of places raising their game and food in general.
And I suppose
our palates might have matured as well.
Yeah, okay.
It's not 3 o'clock in the morning either.
No.
Do you remember the night you went in there, Edo, and ordered everything they could get on the chips? You just went in and said, give me everything. So it was like curry, cheese,
like
bacon.
Homer in the same thing. Yeah, give me 200 crusty burgers. Did I?
Yeah. Jeez. Curry, cheese, bacon, garlic, whatever. You said whatever they put on chips, put it on it.
I used to love scarpering with the, I used to never eat it in town. You always brought it home with you. Yeah. You brought it home, clutched under the oxter. And
I remember leaving Envy. This is the Sligo West Sports Podcast, by the way. We were leaving Envy one night around 12:30, starving, and right back to the dance floor, two cheeseburgers into the nightclub.
Yeah, I've left house before to go get food.
I was in there with the burgers. Like, they're good times. So a good week. I got myself some new bed sheets myself, actually. So everyone's welcome over for a sleepover if you want, lads. No?
Well, from December 18th, it seems like we can do what we want.
Yeah, so the new bed sheets will be in action after that, lads, if you want to come over. Lock of the week didn't come in.
No.
For any of us. First time.
No. First time, yeah.
Three-way elimination.
Well, I suppose, yeah, we were a bit out there yesterday with the 40-1 shot, but...
It was a swing and a miss.
Yeah,
some people not happy.
No, but you're, again, if you'd put a tenner on every one of our selections since we started this, you'd still be up 40 euro.
Yeah,
not to be sniffed at.
And with it comes a warning, you know. It's not the gospel. This is our thoughts, what we think might work.
We were called Moon Men.
Moon Men. I actually like that. I took that as a bit of a compliment, I suppose.
I've never been called a Moon Man. No, and
I've heard people been called Moon Pigs before.
Moon Pig.
A Moon Pig. Yeah,
that's a company.
Is that a bank?
Moonpig.com. They make greeting cards. Your own personalized greeting cards.
So I heard it using an insult towards before.
Oh, yeah, Moon Pig.
Yeah,
they'd be a good sponsor.
Yeah.
For Christmas, yeah, we could tell you. But Moon Men, yeah.
Anyways, there's a guy on Twitter, not happy with our selections. He called us Moon Men and very disappointed.
The Sligo Dancer didn't go too well either.
Sligo Dancer, yeah.
No.
There was an administrative error there by someone. Someone didn't put the poll up on Twitter.
It rhymes with Moss.
Yeah. I'm not taking the blame for that. We'll get it up this week.
Moss Doyle. Moss O'Doyle. So it has to go up this week and this week. So it'll be a double dancer. Double dip up dancing.
Wow.
Two pairs of wife runs to go out, so.
Two pairs to go out, yeah.
What a week.
Shams were coming.
We tasked you with going to the Mandarin Court with your winnings, I suppose.
Yeah,
if your dancer comes in, we might.
We'll sort that out before Christmas. We said we might do the Christmas party there anyway.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I definitely do. If we can go out, we'll go for a Christmas party in the Mandarin Court. Yeah, chicken curry. Three chicken curries. Someone tagged us on something the other day. They were having a chicken curry competition.
Danny Lang.
Chicken curry competition there.
We could be like guests, chicken curry tasters around the town.
How's your man, man versus food?
It's like a way pod man in testing curries. Tasting curries.
So, we've talked about food a bit already. Dancer, yeah. Rovers lost, Shans are comfy. And a new GA manager, lads. We'll talk about that in the GA section. That was big, scandalous breaking news.
First with that news, no?
The Sligo Way podcast had it out on Twitter first.
First, yeah.
Before the Sligo County Board had it out.
I don't think they were too happy.
Breaking ball there.
Ross, I must actually give Powerite the money for that surveillance equipment, but that's another issue. Right, we've a lot of correspondence in, lads. We'll get to it.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, lads, a lot of correspondence this week. A lot of DMs, sliding into the DMs, normal tweets, Facebook messages, and texts. Start with Enda Mitchell, lads, he has one. What is the funniest moment you've seen on a field or a sporting event? Roscoe?
Jesus, a lot of funny ones, but just on the spot, I was thinking back, I think. We were about an 18-year-old and Navin came to play in a friendly. I think you might have been playing in this match as well. This is out in the rugby club, Hamilton Park.
Let me see, does it ring a bell? Go ahead.
Yeah, so a favourite correspondence sender of ours, Gary Clancy, was playing, I think could have actually been his rugby debut for Sligo at the time as well.
Right.
And he unfortunately didn't have rugby shorts.
Yeah. So he did play this game.
So he ended up playing a match in a pair of Power Rangers boxer shorts.
Didn't he have them? Sorry, go ahead. There's a piece to add to it.
Yeah, so Power Ranger boxer shorts, but he actually played for Navin, I believe. They were short players, and I think they were actually out the night before as well.
Yeah.
So they were all drinking flagons of cider in the changing room. So Gary ended up togging for Navin. This is actually his first ever rugby match. A friendly as well, but still his first ever match.
We're down to Sand Dunes and Strandhill.
Correct.
Yeah, staff lost his mother's checkbook.
That's right. So Gary Clancy ended up playing for this Navin side. And at the end of the match, at halftime, I believe he gave a rousing team talk to the Navin team as well when they were losing. So I think he came in and did a Any Given Sunday type speech. But funny enough as it was, but then at the end of the match, he was walking off the pitch and one of the Navin lads goes, "Sorry, mate, can we get our jersey back?" So he took the jersey off and gave it back to him. So
he was
walking off the pitch in the Power Rangers boxers.
Ripped off, didn't he?
I think James Wilson, Beltra man, ignorantly enough now, came up and ripped it all in one go off him.
And he had them since he was 15. Yeah. Some story, like he had these boxers for 5-6 years.
So there was the clean rip from James Wilson and he presented them back to Gary Clancy. And Gary was absolutely unfazed by the fact that he was bollock naked on the pitch with the Gaza strip in full flow reflecting off the sunlight.
Yeah,
and Joe Coulter, club stalwart, come up and absolutely lost the head of him. He said, "You're an app," because Gary at this stage then got the shards of the boxers, tossed them over his shoulder and just started walking off the pitch.
Into the sunset.
Joe Coulter come up and cut through and said, "You're a disgrace. You'll never play for the rugby club again." And Gary was like, No. So that's my funny story.
Mine actually involved, I just think we're kind of homoerotic stuff here. It involves a man and his trousers down as well. It's kind of just off the pitch. I think it was around 2008, the GA brought in kind of new rules. A new fist pass rule. The closed fist, the open palm wasn't allowed anymore, and it was the first game of the league or something, and the ref was coming in. He came into we're just about to go on the pitch, and everyone's first game of the league revved up, pretty serious, up in Ballymote. And the ref, TJ Keaveney, I'll name him. He came in and we were about to go out, and he said, "Just a word, lads, to tell us about the new fist pass rule." And he's in the middle of telling us all, and he's going to blow it up now and blah for freezing this. And one of the lads went behind him and just jocked him in the middle of us all. And like, there was a kind of 5 second awkward silence between everyone just staring at him while he slowly went down to pick up his shorts, and he just walked out and went out in the pitch. And we were all, so obviously we exploded with laughter, and our manager, I think it was Kelly at the time, Anna Kelly, not to say it to us, but he wasn't too happy, but enjoyed that match. Now
that's my surely one. Complaints made about that.
No, nothing, TJ. Oh, but the fella he done it was playing for the county at the time, I'd say. And TJ, you know, the county fellas get away with everything.
He's probably going to have a Bishop Brennan moment at some stage, and just that fucker jocked me.
I don't know if I, yeah.
Driving his car.
His shorts still in his ankles.
He'll be a PTSD. He'll be coming from the toilet someday and pulling the trousers back up again, and he'll get a flashback.
Bertie.
Ah, oh, sure. I'm never going to top them two stories.
Any other pants related nudity?
No pants related ones. Sure, I never topped that. The one I could just think of on my head. We were playing, it was one of the first years, I think. It was actually the first year I was playing junior soccer for Cartron. We weren't very good. I think I told you before, we weren't very good. But we had gone, I think, 15 losses in a row. And we were drawing 1-1. I think it was at home to Aachen. We were drawing 1-1 with about 20 minutes to go. So it was actually like, come on, we can get a point here and not lose. And I'll keep these people nameless, but the manager was, he was also playing. He was a player manager at the time. So we had 12 players. He shouts over to this fella, "Come on, warm up." He goes, "I can't warm up." "Why can't you warm up?" "I've only got one boot." And that was it. But sure, I'm never going to top your stories anyway. So,
so that text, that message only came in a while ago. Like, yeah, if you're trying to think.
If I'm trying to think, there's outrageous ones.
Right, that's a good question. Question one, good start off. Brian Kenny goes in, lads. What was the worst sporting injustice in Sligo sports history?
Quick word, that's a tough one. Brian Kenny sent that in. I tell you, we play a game in the tennis club every year on the 23rd of December.
Right.
The boys call it the Ballincare Cup, the Battle of Ballincare, the Bob Cup, they call it. And there was one year, the team I play for now don't have a great record in it, but there was one year we were 7-1 up after about 20 minutes, you know, unassailable lead. But 23rd of December, the last thing you expect at 6:30 is a group of middle-aged men coming in demanding the court for a game of badminton. And yeah, the game got the court. David Curley actually never booked the court correctly, so the boys even have it on the trophy as void.
Null and void. Fuck.
So that's my. I'm still pretty hurt about that. That's about 10 years ago for me.
That is.
But the real answer is, of course, none of us were born. But John Carpenter in 1978 in the FAI Cup final. Look, we all know how that one ended up.
Real Johnny Carpenter, yeah. I was gonna say Sean Dave been taking down the replay up in Navan there. I thought it was a penalty all day. People say I'm biased. I've also got one when playing with Quayside Rovers. We were down in the bottom division and Abbey were at the top in their pomp. We started the game with 10 men and we went 1-0 up somehow with 10 men. And then we got to 11 and we held them out. It was an absolute siege now. It was like Dundalk at Lone. They must have done everything but score. And then thought we had it on 90th minute. And the linesman, it was cup semi-final, because you remember if you won your league, price will happen, you got to a cup. So, the linesman, the Farsi, put the flag up for offside. I think the ball came out to Lee Marshall on the edge of the box, and he was kind of just chipping it back to our keeper, Stephen
McCormick,
yeah. And he let it kind of go by him just to waste time. And the ref, I won't name, just call him RF, when he seen the ball in the net, called the goal. And Holy War kicked off. He got 2 men sent off in the ensuing chasing off the ref.
Of course.
And lost 2-1 next time. That's my greatest Sligo injustice. The Frank Kennedy Cup of 2004 or whatever. Right, Roscoe.
We were talking about this a bit beforehand.
You brought it up.
I did bring it up. Well, we talked about it, yeah. Jimmy Kilgallen, a man from out in Screen. Kilgallen's Stairs, I believe. I was out talking
bloody
to him.
Good Stairs.
Yeah. Shout out to the Jimmy Kilgallen, the Stairs. He was telling me about the Sligo team that actually got to an All-Ireland final, beating Tipperary in the semi-final, but this isn't Gaelic. They'd beaten Galway, Roscommon and Mayo in 1922, but due to an administrative error in the county final against Galway, they had to replay it after they'd won the All-Ireland semi-final and then lost the replayed final. The Galway again, yeah.
So an old paperwork error.
Yeah.
It was actually described in the Irish News of 1922 as a flimsy.
It was a fella's surname was spelled incorrectly.
It was around Civil War time as well, though, wasn't it?
What would have been
a few strokes being pulled there.
Yeah.
Sligo are best in
them
war times.
Them Free Staters at it again.
That's a good one, Roscoe. Fuck yeah. Excuse me, sorry. I'm just so angry. Jesus, yeah. All Ireland final. That would be their only senior All Ireland final, so.
Yeah.
Good one, Jimmy Kilgallen. May you go up and down them stairs. That's a nice one. Right, next question. Dylan Monaghan, this is a good one. Greatest goal or try you've seen live or on TV or and on TV. I was going to say I had the O'Hara one. That's live. That's the obvious one. You know, it sticks out. It was such a goal. It was, in fairness, against Galway in the O'Connor final. I just said to you, Marty, then kind of off that I was at a Champions League semi final, United and Milan, 2007. Kaká scored a goal. He was outrageous at this. So I might go with Kaká versus United in Old Trafford in 2007.
Yeah, it was a tricky one actually, trying to think back on it. I went for a live goal as well. But Raf's first goal against Pats the day Rovers won the league.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he did the little drag back by your man and planted it into the corner. I love watching back that goal now, even. Like, the showground just erupts. Like, I know the game went to 3-2 in the end, but like once we got that goal, I think everyone kind of started believing that that was going to be the day we won it. I love watching back that goal. The reaction of everyone down the railway end as the goal goes in is amazing. I suggest anybody to watch it on YouTube.
Very good. Roscoe?
I am going to just mix it up slightly and go with two drop goals. One that I seen over in Cardiff for the Grand Slam decider, Ronan O'Gara. That was a pretty magnificent one, Ireland's first ever Grand Slam. And then the other one closer to home, Michael Wells against Malahide a couple of years ago. It was a clinching moment in the season to win the 2B2C League. So going to go two drop kicks there. Sorry,
just goals, not says goals, yeah.
Yeah,
very that good. Type. Very good. Good question so far, lads. I'm still laughing at it. Pain in my head from laughing from the first question. Anyways, Scotty Maguire, what's each of your greatest Sligo five-a-side teams? So a five-a-side team picked off Sligo characters or players. Marty?
Oh, well, yeah, I read the question wrong, so I thought it said like five Sligo Leitrim players. So
right.
Yeah, I'll pick five. I'll pick a good team of five, I suppose.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper, I'd have Paul Shang O'Scannon.
Yeah.
Manor, well, Shango. He's a character man, but plays for Manor now. For longevity there, he gets in as the best keeper. We'll go back to maybe Yaw Merrin and Jinxie.
Right.
That's Colin Jinx's.
Mobile, not Jinxie Cat again.
Not the Jinxie Cat to play for the Village Inn. No. Then in kind of, I don't know how you play this formation. I'll put Gary Armstrong as the next guy, as a midfielder, just give him the ball and then do what he wants. And then up front, I'll have ex-Rovers legend, Glenn Shannon.
Shannon special.
Absolute sensational player on the pitch.
Yep. I kind of read it half wrong as well. I went for five people who were connected with Sligo football. The Cat himself in goals, Willie Monaghan.
Jungle Panther.
Absolute Jungle Panther, yeah. Save anything. But maybe not the ones you're expecting to save, but the ones you don't expect to save. Outrageous saving. And good crack too in the goals. There's some good days at Willie. One man, centre half. Wesley Charles.
Yeah, but you don't need anybody else anyway.
That's it. Small pitch, five-a-side. Lee Marsh is going to sit in front of him.
Right.
Bellew is going to sit in front of him. And then the top, the mayor, the undertaker of the town, Gino Boyle.
Yeah, what a team.
That's just straight spine. So, yeah. Spine is what I call it.
Don't even bother with things.
No, it's going straight down. So Willie Mann and Wesley Charles, Lee Marshall, John Bellew, Gino Boyle.
That's a great team.
Are we going to make a public request to Gino now? We've been talking.
Yeah, we'll get Gino on. Yeah, we want to get him on the show. There's football, there's wrestling, and there's politics. So fit everything.
Gino, we're coming for you.
I'm bouncing,
yeah.
Right, Roscoe.
Look, obviously I'm struggling at this one. I'm going to have to put John Bellew in there. That's a stalwart of other teams.
I should have put him in there myself.
Friend to us all, obviously.
I'm going to go with another man who's actually looking to play junior football this year.
Not
one of the greats, Gary O'Hare.
Very nice.
He suggested Merville potentially as a team of suitors. He doesn't know yet, but I'm going to put him in the team. Has Gary Golden played junior soccer?
Gary Golden has.
Has he made appearances?
Yeah, he's
yet?
Come on for us, yeah. He's played games
for us. Okay, well, he's my third man. I have two more to go, do I?
Two more, three. That's three.
And they can be adopted Leitrim men.
Beg your pardon?
They can be adopted Leitrim men.
Oh, of course. Have any connection with Sligo, yeah.
I am going to go for Philip O'Malley with two L's.
Philip has two L's, yeah.
Two L's.
Yeah.
Just to avoid any issues there.
At Sligo Philip, you might catch him out. Or at John Collins, John H. Collins 7 on Twitter.
Hopefully he's not a podcast critic. I know he's a TV critic, but yeah. We'll put him at the back because he'll swallow up anything.
Yes. Number five, Ross. Go. So Phillips and goals, right? Go on.
We get Dykes in there somewhere.
Rolling Dykes, yeah.
Just Horatio there to finish things off, yeah.
He used to give a few shouts. He used to always wear the Argentina. He'd be sad this week at Maradona gone as Argentina jersey. Yeah. Dykesy, Van Dykeselrooy, he's used to
Van
call
Van Dykeselrooy, himself. Yeah.
So who have we got there? We've got
Johnny Bellew, Gary O'Hare.
No, in order.
Gary Golden.
Well, I want to see positions. I want O'Malley and goals. You've got O'Malley and goals, right?
Yeah, filling
the
goals. Yeah. We'd put Gary Golden at the back.
Yeah.
Gary O'Hare in midfield with Dykesy and John Bellew up front.
Right. Dicey's a serious strike, actually. Remember when O'Connell Street was pedestrianised and you could drink outside? And we were drinking in Hergenins one evening and he arrived down with a... someone was with a football and he went, "Oh, we touch." And he boots and he goes, "Smash!" when he hit it. And straight through the window of Hergenins. And sure, Bellew was working there. Like, Bellew's getting off mention here. And like, your man came out and he said, "What are you all?" Clearly it wasn't us. It was Dicey there. And he goes, "Bellew, you rat!" "You rat!" He was at the top of the house. "You rat!" And it was good correspondence so far, lads. Number five. This is directly from Ertie. Top five chairman.
Oh.
Because you're a chairman of Carlton United.
Oh, geez, on the spot. Top five chairman. How would you even... I suppose in number five, I'd probably have Mark A. Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the White House.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, an obvious contender. Yeah. Number four, I'd have... the great man himself, Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
Number three, I probably have the first actual chairman of the KGB. That was Felix Dzhezhny.
Dzhezhny, yeah.
Yeah, a real good spy man.
Actually, before you go on there, I was reading Dzhezhny's book last Thursday night before some big news broke and a few tips got out there.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice.
Hello to my friends in the KGB. Right, go.
Then in second, I'd have the second greatest football chairman of all time, Jerry Block.
Oh, yes. R.I.P.
And then I suppose I'll just put myself number one. Is that it?
Yes.
Is that fair? Yeah, that's fair.
Good. Very good chairman. I want to mention one, Dave Calhoun. He's an obvious one, I know, but chairman of Boeing.
Yeah. He would make number six on my list.
Yeah. David. Looking out for you, Davey. Right. Donald Egan asked, sorry, Daniel Kelly asked that. Donald Egan asked, top five sports. Roscoe, what's your top five sports?
Oh, we'll go rugby union, number one.
Okay.
Soccer. We'll go rugby league, WWE, and finishing off with a bit of...
WWE sports entertainment, no.
Yeah, of course, still a sport. Still a sport.
Yeah, okay.
It's real to me, goddammit. It's the phrase, isn't it?
That's what Bret Hart used to say.
And a fifth one. Jesus Christ, we'll go for a fifth one.
Talk into the bloody mic.
Into Tansy, the mic, sorry. Tansy, come on, you got me back there.
Don't be afraid to shout, Tansy.
AFL.
A bit of AFL. AFL, right. Very good. What were the five there? Rugby?
Rugby.
Soccer.
Soccer, rugby league, WWE and AFL.
Okay, yeah. I'll go Gaelic football, one. Football, then a new love of mine, basketball.
Oh,
the World Cup qualifiers on the minute, as I mentioned earlier. I'm loving it. Rugby, and something I fell in love with during the lockdown because it was the only sport that was on because the Russians obviously didn't care about COVID, and the Ukrainians, table tennis. The amount of Moscow Masters table tennis I watched online is absolutely ridiculous. Masters, like they're not even moving and their shorts up to their oxters, I just say, and they're just pinging over and back. So, table tennis is a new show for me now. I've gotten into it, I'm not playing it, so that's mine.
Well, the darts is forgotten of mine, but go on.
Beg your pardon?
I missed my chance. The darts would have been in there somewhere.
Oh, darts, yeah. Darts, as we used to call
it. Darts, oh, darts. Yeah. We'll bring that up game. Another time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That'll be a podcast in itself. I would have went, so I go football number one.
Yep.
Horse racing number two.
Yep.
Golf number three.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether to put this in because I've kind of fallen out of love with it, but Gaelic football will make number four.
Okay.
Still a good
all. Haven't got your rant gone yet.
No, the rant we'll get it in this evening actually. And then five actually I'd be and I've started watching it again a lot more this year. I'd be a big American football fan.
Oh yeah.
I
can't get back. I kind of was into it and I can't.
I was about 05-06 I started watching it. I got Madden for the PlayStation. Didn't know the rules before that, and that's what got me into it. fell out of love with it for a few years, but last 2 years now, it's great watching, I think.
It is, yeah.
It's a big time consuming thing, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is, yeah.
I might do table tennis out there. I don't know. Like I actually, you know what I really do like?
I love watching, like, more time to think about
I
it do properly.
I love watching rugby league, not Super League in England. NRL.
NRL is.
Like, I get up early. I actually do get up early to watch that. Yeah. It's on the Friday or Saturday morning.
Completely different sport.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Nicholas Kolovkov, the Masters table tennis champion. I'm sorry, you're gone. And I'm gonna put NRL rugby league in for minor flight. Right. Very good question. Need more time in these questions, lads.
We do, yeah.
I think that's all that side. One more from an old texter here. It's a long-winded one again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it to you. Good evening. Yo, he's very polite, actually. Hello, gang. 2 weeks ago. Hello, and good morning. 1 week. So this is good evening. I'm just wondering what your opinion is on adult rollerblading around Sligo. Several times I've seen a grown man, likely in his mid-30s, spending his afternoons rollerblading through the sidewalks. This is an American man. Rollerblading through the sidewalks off the main road around Sligo, often weaving in and out between cars, waiting at traffic lights. He often has the audacity to use the bonnets of the cars as his own drum set while blading past. Should adult rollerblading be allowed on the Sligo streets? Or should the good motors of Sligo open their doors as they see him approach in the rearview mirrors so he'll crash into them in the attempt to put a stall to his gallop? Should it be deemed acceptable to leave an outstretched arm when passing him on the streets to clothesline him to the ground? Someone needs to put a stop to his rollerblading vigilante before our children look up to him and view him as a beacon of hope. Pascal, 67, in Drumishcabool.
Wow.
Lost to digest.
That is a lot to take in from Pascal. I suppose he raises in some big points there.
I think we know who Pascal's talking about.
Yeah, I think we do. We've all been paid witness and have experienced this man rollerblading by us. Infuriating is the first thing that I always think when I see him go past me.
Before you think this isn't actually one of us who sent this message in, yeah. Stephanie is one of the lads who got accosted by him out walking his dog last week because he wasn't on a lead while your man was rollerblading in the dark.
and he had quite a go at him for
now he's obviously holding a grudge.
Yeah. Okay.
He's using us as a way of getting it out.
Maybe we might put that one out to the. Yeah.
Has anybody else actually had experience of this?
I played the bongos on my bonnet one day, on my roof, and they did now, in fairness to him. And he got a pretty good tune out of it.
Yeah.
But he's going to get knocked down.
The nerd shout has been thrown out the window before them.
Nerd?
Simpsons, that's nerd.
He's pretty nifty on his legs now.
He's a big man as well. Like, he's not a small man. Yeah.
He's very graceful for a big man. Might put that out, guys. What do you think about rollerblade guy? He came up on Twitter about 2 years ago, maybe, and there was people giving out about him. Yeah, and then someone jumped in and defended him.
Do you know what he kind of reminds me of?
I stood back for a second and thought, yeah, he is a good guy.
Remember Frank the Tank in Old School?
Yeah.
Remember that when he gets the ribbon?
Oh, yeah.
And he used that as his part of his ribbon. He kind of has
graceful.
Rhythmic gymnastics, yeah.
Rhythmic gymnastics, yeah.
Could have been a sport, actually, top five.
Look, that's coming up in January. I've got something in the pipeline there I must tell you about later, lads, in the ribbon. Can't even say the word. But Pascal, we can't really answer your 12 questions there about. I don't think anyone should put a halt to his gallop by clotheslining him out a window. That could be pretty dangerous. Or the door.
We couldn't encourage that now.
No, can't encourage that, pass. You would encourage opening the door.
I don't like the guy at all.
Right. We're coming back. Wait. That was some good correspondence, lads. I enjoyed
keep
that.
Them, yeah, keep them coming in.
Going to come back with GA, lads.
Chance here for Jesse Sloan. Can he score? Yes! Sloan goal!
Okay, welcome back. GA time, lads. A lot happening. A lot has happened again since we were here last. Sligo have a new senior manager, Tony McEntee, our Matt. Good appointment?
I suppose it's a big name, you know. It's probably someone, like, they probably needed a name this time. I said there was a couple of locals might be disappointed that they didn't.
Well, yeah. Definitely a good name, and he's definitely looks like he won All Ireland's as multiple Ireland's as a player, Club All Ireland's, then as a player with Armagh, won a senior All Ireland, obviously, won two All Ireland's as a manager, two Club All Ireland's as a manager as well, and was with Mayo in All Ireland finals as their backroom man.
It's a great pedigree.
So he has everything there, and he is a big name, and you'd say it. But I'd only say so that's it is a good appointment that way, but the circumstances of who else was in for the job, maybe. A few people were kind of shocked to hear it announced that Eamon O'Hara didn't get the job.
Yeah, yeah. And look, you can like we know now that he was definitely in you know he wanted the job this time definitely.
Yeah.
Five county titles in a row. Yeah,
what more can the man do? But unbeaten, he'd never lost a league game even with them in the 5 years. Yeah. So, before anything, this isn't any dig at Tony.
Oh, no, no.
As we said, serious thing, but I don't know. When Paul Taylor left and Eamon O'Hara said he was interested and he was interviewed, it probably should have been his job, in my opinion. And with a lot of people's opinion, a lot of people were very shocked. To say, what more could he do? I don't know how. I think it's like Liam Maloney and Sligo Gander had a thing last week with their championship run over the 5 years. They played 30 games or something. So they won 28 through 2. And then adding the many league games, you're touching 10 league games a year, 80 games unbeaten.
And his playing career.
And then the playing career to back that up, yeah. So I've been chatting a lot of people about it, an awful lot. And they're just kind of. Well, they are shocked with the announcement that Eamon is not the manager, but it's done now, I suppose.
Yeah, and like I suppose you'd have to give your man McEntee now a chance on his own merit.
Oh no, well, I'm definitely excited about Tony McEntee. Like that, I want to say it out straight away. And I think everyone I've chatted has said the same thing. It actually is still a very good appointment.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more wrong with Sligo football than who's going to be the manager anyway. You know, so. Like there's probably a lot of things that need to change, and maybe it might take an outside influence that wasn't Eamon O'Hara to maybe be able to shake things more within the county board there, you know.
Well, that's the possible thing as well. You had Paul Taylor there, so you have an outside influence, as you say. Doesn't know the players. I would say it's a bit of fresh slate, but it's not, because Joe Keane, who was the trainer the last 2 years of Paul Taylor, and Sean Boyle, S&C, are in as part of McEntee's background team. Keane would have been with McEntee when he's with Mayo, so they're obviously familiar with each other. And when Paul Taylor resigned, I don't know, it was a request of the players or the county board, whoever, would Joe Keane stay on anyways? So once he was staying on, I suppose it should have showed that if he wasn't part of him and Harris' proposed background team, that
they were leaning that way.
Yeah, well, that's the way I kind of look at it that way. But it is exciting, because look at his pedigree, Jesus.
Yeah, oh no, like I think, like, you know, like as names go, I think it's a pretty big appointment. So like, I can see why there is excitement and optimism. And I would, as I say, I just think he needs, like, it's going to be a couple of years before you see. I know you said before that if this team sticks together, that they have a chance of doing something down the track. Like, but he's probably going to need a couple of years there, you know, in order to impose how he wants to play. Build a style of football and hopefully build a better level of actual standards around the county itself.
How many years? He's down for 3 years. Now, Mayo spoke really highly of him as well, Lenny and Mayo. So, it's something to look forward to. He's down for 3 years. Division 4 is not going to be easy this year at all. People thinking that it's just going to happen. Go with Division 4. Mickey Hart is managing Tyrone.
Loud,
sorry. It's like 18 years ago. Sorry, yeah, obviously. Mickey Hart's gone to Loud. Enda McGinley from Tyrone is managing Antrim. Leitrim have come down with Terry Highland. The manager's down there in Division 4. The quality, like, they're all going to want to hit the ground running, they're all going to get out of it. So it's just not going to happen for Sligo like that. And I feel this thing with Sligo being down Division 4 and everyone saying, oh, we should be out, shut me in Division 4 thing, I think you need to reassess some signs. And look, we are in Division 4. If you don't get out, not the end of the world. If you can build something, as long as you're not been beaten in all four games. Yeah, like, yeah. I know getting up would be great and it's what you want. But it's going to be very difficult next year with I suppose you'd be looking for the bounce of a new manager, but your four other teams nearly haven't that same that bounce. Well, yeah. So, yeah, it'd be difficult. The GA said during the week, 2 weeks ago was that they were thinking of running off the county back in February, getting it going again, but now they're talking of running the club off first, so county might be back till July. So I don't know if that happens. I don't think county managers just appointed will be too happy with that.
Yeah.
When does Tony McDee get hold of his players?
So they're talking about playing club from February to July.
It was in the Irish Examiner the other day. I kind of half read it, to be honest. But yeah, they're talking about running the club off first. But now I presume though as well that the club leagues, the county players might be available to that, so they will be with their county and then play the championship. I'm not sure they'll have the structured soon, anyways, because it's December tomorrow and. Never mind counties going back, but clubs go back in January, and some clubs would nearly back this time of year, the way they are sometimes. So, yeah, it's... what was I going to say? There was something else about them. I can't think. Yeah, well, he'll have returning players like Niall Murphy be back in the fold. Obviously, that's a massive, massive boost. Players come back. Like, this year, like I was just thinking today, like, Murphy, Adrian McIntyre's loss can't be... it's a massive loss. Like, it's he wasn't there with Sligo this year. So, no, there's definitely a lot to look forward to on that front. Yeah, just got a question in as well. Gonna read it out there. What's a realistic expectation for Tony McNeil and Sligo GAA next year? Back to Division 3 football at least, or the championship backdoor run? Well, I said there, I think it's going to be very tough to get back to Division 3. So, kind of answered that a minute ago.
I think it's obviously going to be his target, though.
Oh, 100%. Sorry, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it definitely is the good division. Like, you're not looking to consolidate in Division 4. I'm just saying it won't be the worst thing in the world.
No.
Put in an outrun in Division 4 and just fall short. Championship run.
Yeah, the back. Yeah,
I'm hitting the mic there. The GA aren't overly clear on what's coming out. 15 December, that's what I was going to say. I was supposed to say the announcement. But they're on about the Tailteann Cup next year, which is for Division 3, 4 teams who don't get to their provincial final. Finals, yeah. So the only way Sligo would have a backdoor run is if they get the provincial final. That's all well and good if you draw London. And no, Leitrim. Sorry, no guarantee. Yeah, but would Sligo be Leitrim these days?
No, well, yeah, 50-50, yeah, yeah, 50-50 so, match.
Like, backdoor run is a thing. So it has. I think Sligo had to be more league-focused on the next 2 years, really, and then build. Well, sorry, yeah, he's next league campaign, then a championship campaign, and then the next league campaign is very important. That's two league campaigns, and then you're thinking of building the championship team and what you want to hit in championship.
What you want to do, yeah, yeah. I suppose, like, in, like, you know, within Connacht, especially for Sligo, like, the draw is a big thing now. You know, well, like, fair enough, it's going to be a 50-50 game against Leitrim, yeah. But, like, there is a way to get to a provincial final beating Leitrim.
But I know Sligo, the lads don't fear anyway. I know for a fact, they never do, no matter how bad things go. And Sligo over the years have never, even when they're in Division 4, have never,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, I just think that even...
The gap has extended, though.
Extended, yeah. I think the days of, like, getting them kind of two or three games on the bounce qualifier runs, like the likes of... I remember there a couple of years, well, it's about 3 or 4 years ago now, I remember Clare beating us out the gate, yeah, there in Markovic. You know, a team that you would have thought would always be kind of 50-50 match for Sligo, but they would beat us out the gate now too.
Sure, two midfielders ran right.
Oh, yeah, man, Brennan fella, yeah.
But that was a good question there. I was just thinking of Mickey Hart taking over at Louth. I don't know what he can achieve at Louth. He can't win a provincial title.
No.
Louth were in Division 2 2 years ago, you know. And they've had two relegations. So they've been in Division 2 recently. So is the max he can do is getting up to Division 2 and keeping there? But sure that...
I don't know.
Didn't waste any time going for it anyways.
But how serious do you think the people... Like, we've seen before with the Tommy Murphy Cup or whatever it was called back
then.
Serious are these teams going to take
I've tried a few players. I don't think they're overly keen on it. No. Like, you talk about marketing and playing for an Ireland final. But like...
Sure, who cares?
Yeah, I don't like... I know we're not the players, but like you want to play against the best. It's like having it's Dublin this weekend. You want to play against the best.
And your Tipperary Air Division 3 team.
Yeah, and so are Cavan.
So they would have been, you know.
Well, if Cavan and Tipperary didn't get their league, their championship, never mind winning it, didn't get their finals last week.
And both could have been out before.
What do we know? Yeah. Well, Limerick should have bet Tip.
Yeah. And Cavan should have been out twice anyway. Yeah. Close enough to three times. Do you know?
I had something that was on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. It'll come to me later. But yeah, Tony McIntyre is the new manager. Best of luck, Tony. Macca Tack. The boy from South Armagh, across McGlen. Hopefully brings some across McGlen success. But Eamon O'Hara disappointed, and yeah, I'm sure he is disappointed. Don't know where he goes now. Is it back to Tour de Stran? I don't think he achieved much more. But the only thing I've seen back to Tour de Stran is did no Connacht club this year. I would say him and the players want to give that a right.
Don't
want
a game in Connacht, no.
Not in the last few years. Okay. No, the draw this year actually was, I might be the wrong way around if it went ahead, but the quarterfinal was London or Leitrim and the semi-final was Leitrim. So it was one way around. So it was Leitrim, London that was all stepping away to Sligo champions to get to a final.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what it'll be the same next year if the club finals go ahead. But it'd be interesting to see where Eamon O'Hara pops up, because he was interested in the Sligo job. So does he back to Tristan or...
Can't see him going for it again, can you?
Ever.
You can't say I'm wanting to go for it after.
Nothing is so exactly, and everyone has drawn decisions. And I'd say the players are delighted with the appointment, as they would have been if it was Eamon. But I can't see him going for again. No. Why would, like, what more can he do? Does he need to go 7 or 8 years unbeaten? Don't know. Anyways, gee, ranty. You go on your rant. When are you going on your rant?
Next week. I nearly got into it there. I was very close there.
Well, I don't even know what it's about, to be honest.
Well, I'm just going to go over something.
How are we for time, Pat? Right, go on.
Right, okay, just first thing, right? This is one of a million things. I was saying there about the county board structures, right? This year in the county championship, they happened to stumble across a format, right? Previous years...
What do you mean?
In previous years, right, there's 10 teams playing senior championship, yeah. Right? Two groups of five.
Yeah.
And four teams qualify out of five out of each group.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, you're surprised amount of counties that do that.
But anyway, that's ridiculous. It takes a whole competitiveness. You could lose three games and draw one and qualify for a quarterfinal, and you've got absolutely no benefit over the team that's finished top of the other group. Yeah. I assume that's how they play it off.
Right? Yeah, you play your reward for any tough.
Yeah, it's playing the bottom thing. Yeah, yeah. But sure, that bottom thing could just hold back to the last game. You don't have any advantage like home. Like, a simple, like the way I'd run the championship, right? They got lucky with it this year. I'd probably just go a step further, right? Very easy. Two groups of five.
Yeah.
Winner tops the group straight to the semi final.
Yeah.
Okay. Second and third in each group play each other.
Quarterfinal.
In a quarterfinal.
They had that in.
I know. Right.
Okay. Had that in 2011 and 12.
You give benefits to the team. So the team that wins the group.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah.
They go straight to the semi-final. That's their benefit. The team that finishes second gets a home tie in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
If your ground's not good enough, move it to the nearest ground. All right. Whatever you have to pick up. Right.
Good idea.
Fourth, go off and enjoy your holidays.
And fifth in relegation.
Fifth in relegation.
They had that, yeah, a few years back. Well, I think the complaint was that the team that topped it.
Had two
straight to the semi. Yeah, well,
I go away around that too.
Right, go ahead.
But like you, so you set it out, okay? I've talked to a couple of players about this. I work with a couple of lads to play for a club in Sligo. I won't say who it is, but they can't play. No, it's not St. John's. No, it's out. It's out the country. But like, it's very simple. And then, sorry, it takes about 15 weeks to run off a championship with 10 teams in it. Because you're playing games. You're playing five games that really don't make a difference to anything because four teams are qualifying. Because I'm not including this year's championship, which was probably the right format. Okay?
I'd say it will stick with this year's. I'd say it will.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I guarantee you they won't.
I don't.
They'll stick with it if there's no crowds next year. If there's crowds, I guarantee you they'll want extra games. Yeah,
they're not making right? much money for them crowds.
They're not making, but they're making enough. Right, anyway, sorry, my voice is kind of a bit high-pitched here now. It just annoys me. So you set out, you tell, you right, at this minute in time, I think it's pretty obvious Sligo aren't going to go any further than the middle of July. You set the first round of games on the August bank holiday or the week after, let people enjoy their bank holiday.
Yeah.
You've got 10 weeks there to run off a championship.
Yeah.
Okay? Instead, you start probably the week before the August bank holiday. You're playing games on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock and half 7 with lads having to go back to fucking Dublin or wherever they are around the country.
I think that stopped. That was shit, though. That was brutal.
Right.
Was
well, brutal. Yeah. So anyway, you play it off. You have your two games, have a gap week, have your two games, have a gap week, have another week game. The quarterfinals are played the week after the last group game.
Right.
So the semi-final winners don't have that disadvantage. You take out replays until the county semi-final stage.
Yeah.
You put a two-week gap in county final. Championship's over in 10 weeks. Lads can go enjoy themselves. And this crack, a fella's been back in January, lifting weights and running up and down fucking mountains.
That's Carton you're talking about.
To play games that don't even matter.
Like, Marty for Sligo GAA moderator.
The moderator. No, I get you. I get you. I think you're dead right that they have stumbled upon it this year.
They stumbled across it. I could not get my head around. You could lose three games out the gate by 35 points.
I could be wrong here. I think in Leitrim had the same thing. They did six teams in each group and five went through or something. No, that's not right. That's not right because I went to quarter, sorry.
But even so if there was...
did the same, but St. Mary's ended fourth in their group.
I'm wondering.
I got to a county final.
Yeah, but like that could easily happen here.
Yeah.
Like, Harps...
We lost two last year and drew one in our group and got to... 2 years ago and got the county final. We played shit and then got quarters.
But teams...
And
but that's what I mean.
Turned
like,
it on.
It's not like you could... If you win, say... Say it was you this
just
year.
Just go to your group.
Yeah, there's four teams. There's four teams qualifying. Yeah. You win your first game at home to, I don't know, a team of a similar level. Cawley, say, right? And you beat Cawley. It's like, right, well, that's it. Cawley can only get maybe three wins. You know, and there's, like, I think they've got, the county's not strong enough to have 12 senior teams, and eight is probably too few. So I think
10
is an awkward number. Right. But it's very simple. I did it out on a sheet. You can have the championship done in 10, 11 weeks. Lads can pick and decide... When they like, fellas don't have the option of when they go on holiday. No. It's like the time committed to it for Just very little reward. And I just think it'll help improve standards. Like, so many of them championship matches when four teams out of five are qualifying are just dead rubbers.
I found our group very competitive this year.
Exactly.
Like that game against Colliery.
But how many 1-point games are there in championship this year? There must have been... I watched... Like, I would have watched... Like, if you could have... I haven't gone to championship games...
Semi-final against Drumcliff was 1-point game. Like, we lost,
I haven't gone to a club championship game that hasn't been Colliery in I don't know how long. But I would have went this year. Do you know, the two semi-finals this year are pointed at it.
Yeah. No, like, I hear you what you're saying. We'd always, like, we're in the group. Saturday where you said, just go with the group, just go with the group. No matter how you get out. Doesn't matter how you go, because it's a new, I feel it's a new competition once you get with the group.
Yeah, exactly.
So just go no matter how you get. And then
that's what I'm saying. You're wasting your time with lads, not, like, having to stick around here and not being able to go on holidays or have a fucking pinter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't believe in that whole...
I'm taking that as a bad example.
No, they just have, you you're training...
If your team that even gets to the quarterfinals, say you finish fourth in your group, you've trained all year since January to lose three games in the championship, maybe draw one, and then lose a fourth. And then that's, you know what I mean? And somehow you've got to a county quarterfinal. Ah, it's all right.
Very good. Yeah.
Now, there's
rant
one rant.
Rant one is down. Okay, we'll be back. Okay. We are going to Europe, Marty.
Confirmed.
Slight disappointment the weekend, though. Lost 2-0 in Tala.
Yeah, I suppose, like, the day was kind of mixed emotions. I liked what the club did last night. They actually put out the tweet. See the tweet with Tommy Gorman? Yeah,
it's very good.
And I think it just you know, it can get that way even though we lost the game. You know, we're still ending the season on high. We qualified for Europe. On the game itself, I suppose, I just remember thinking before the game kicked off, like, you know, don't concede early. The league game we played up there, we conceded early. We conceded a second at a bad time. We conceded a bad... It took us 10, 15 minutes. I don't know if it was a bit of a hangover from the 120 minutes on last Wednesday.
Slog.
But I don't know. We started very poorly. Now, them two clowns doing the commentating, John Kenny and Stewie Byrne. Like, what were they talking? Like,
body language, isn't it?
I don't know what game they were watching. Because, like, we actually, from about 15, 20 minutes on, you know, we were creating
putting
all the chances.
On,
we were putting them. Now, in fairness, the Shams, like, they did kind of sit back. I'd say they were happy with their goal lead. But we created three really good chances between 25 minutes and half time just before they got that sucker punch of a second goal, you know. But the two lads were talking as if we were a pub league team coming up to Dublin to, you know, to play the greatest team that ever fucking walked.
Like, timing of the goals.
Really just, bad. Yeah, just, it's just, yeah, the start of the game, and it was an awful goal just from a corner. Time. Yeah, and then the goal just before half time. I mean,
we were putting a bit of pressure on just for that.
Yeah, like, Coughlin had a good chance. Junior had a half chance. You know, we were knocking the ball nicely at that time. Just it was a bit of a silly mistake for the goal, and Mac and F ran through, and you just can't give him that space. He just ran through and buried one into the corner from 20 yards. But I suppose you wanted kind of a reaction in the second half. Like, the time we played up there in the league, we kind of folded in the second half and took a bit of a tonking, but in second half again, look, the lads they stuck at it, and, like, again, I hate fucking saying it, but Shams are a good team, you know.
Yeah,
they're very good.
They were never in trouble, really. Were they?
You could see that. I don't know if they had more gears to go through, but you know, like, we did again. We created chances in second half, and we were looking likely. But again, you just have to remember
But where it came from, like, that was mentioned many times this night on social media and stuff.
Yeah, like, where we've come from to get to Europe. We're getting to Europe. Hopefully now it's in a position. We've seen Ed McGinty signing the contract.
Yeah, 2-year contract, big Ed.
The lucky pants, yeah.
Massive momentum now, isn't there?
You know, so I assume there's going to be, you know, we're going to be looking at probably a couple of signings over.
Signings are crucial now.
Yeah, I think we'll have to develop a bit of a squad. I think
we'll start this week.
Yeah. No, we'll be, like, and I think we'll be active as well. We probably can plan a bit better than other teams because we have the guarantee of the European money now. Look, although it was disappointing to lose, I think that disappointment for a lot of people, like, it wore off a lot quicker than a normal cup semi-final defeat to Shams would.
Yeah, that's what I noticed tonight. Yeah. Like, just the reaction wasn't no downbeat. Like, usually if that was a season ender and there was no Europe or whatever, and in a normal season, if it was a season ender and you end of mid-table, you'd be like, geez, where was the fight?
Yeah. But you can't.
The Athlone trouncing seemed to have cheered everyone up.
That match was
it's a pity we didn't get them in the semi-final.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, let Dundalk.
How was that match on the TV and the Rovers one wasn't?
It was because Rovers had to go in League of Ireland because of the hurling on and rugby at the same time.
Oh yeah. No, I think that was. It was like RTE wanted to get the game out there first, so Rovers didn't qualify for the final until Wednesday. So they decided, let's put on Dundalk. Because they must have had the game for 6:40 with the sport that was on during the day.
And they always showed the two. From going back 20 years, two FA Cup sometimes are always on.
First time since 2004 I've seen someone quote on it. It didn't make any sense. Like, you could have played You could have played it tonight. Do you know?
Yeah, true. Well, the final's on Sunday.
The final is on Sunday, yeah.
But yeah, just a bounce of the ball.
A bounce of the ball. Happy days going to be on TV. 11-0, damn.
A bounce of the ball between the sides up in Athlone. Could have went either way. 11-0 to the Lily White. So that puts us into Europe.
Judging by Twitter, there's going to be about 2,000 people heading off to Europe.
There will be, Strandhill Airport's reopening.
Well, I tell you what, I will put it out there. It is, I took it for granted at the end of the good times the last time.
Yeah.
That you just think, I will qualify for Europe any year. I won't go this year. But it is one of the best things you'll ever do. And right. I think with the gap.
Sporting your own team,
nothing like it. Going away to some.
I went to Sports United in Lille. Man, obviously, United aren't the local side. So it was serious experience. And we went to Wembley for Murder Pit Spurs. Yeah. So with the United fans away. Great.
Except for when you're with Gary Clancy.
Yeah. But sorry, I can't believe that. I can't imagine that even compared to going with a load of characters. Characters.
Yeah, we were in. Where was the place in Ukraine, Poltava? I was on about that story last week. But there must have been, I think there was like 200 Rovers fans over there. And it was unbelievable because they had played, somehow, with the way Ireland's coefficient was in time, we had automatically qualified for the third qualifying round. They were a seeded team in the second qualifying round. They bet Porto down the week before the second round. So I think they just thought, we'll show up and beat these clowns. So the way in, the Ukrainians were like, let's swap scarves, let's do this, let's do that.
They weren't angry at all.
No, they weren't angry at all. Yeah. And then the game finished nil all. And it was one of the, honestly, it was the best singular performance by Joseph Ndoh I've ever seen. He absolutely...
He's playing at his level.
Oh, he was unbelievable. And Raf had a great chance and Kirby missed an absolute sitter. But we drew nil all anyway. And I'll never forget coming out then. The mood had changed from the local. So we had to be bused back to the hotel we were staying in. And I never forget, there was the Ukrainian TV cameras were in there and we were all jumping around the place singing and dancing. Cookie was there having a pint. It was unbelievable. But I don't know what happened, but a committee member came in anyway and they must have missed the bus back to the hotel, right? So a committee member had come in saying, some fella's after knocking my glasses off there, right? We're like, what? And he's like, yes. And it's like, some local, they're angry with the result. So Jerry Carr heard about this. Big Jerry goes, well, we're not taking this lying down. Let's get up there. So, led by the assistant manager, we marched up the middle of the street in Poltava.
Big tough men.
Up to the middle of the street in Poltava, fine combing for these glasses, which I think we found in the end.
Oh, you're looking for the glasses?
We were looking for
the glasses.
All right, let's have it.
We're a fucking bit of beef.
We had the protection of Jerry Carr in case anything did happen.
Got no hair, but we don't care. Jerry Carr.
But anyway, so I think I can't remember, did we find the glasses, but it was back to the hotel anyway, singing, dancing, and cheering for the night. It went on long into the night. But yeah, there's what other football club would you get? Yeah. Your assistant manager.
It's going to be good. There's going to be more than 200 going this
time. No matter where we got drawn, I think this time. And again, I would advise any single Rovers fan, listen, start saving your money. It'll be the best thing you experience probably as a Rovers fan.
I'm going to go. Hope the GAA season isn't on then. If you are, you can train yourselves, Calera, around that.
Under my championship method.
Going to play a cup winner, aren't we? We're going to go qualify as cup winners.
Yeah, I need to. I need to do some research into it.
Could be wrong, but that would mean we'd be in Europa League One then, wouldn't it?
There is. It's a bit early anyway to be looking.
Yeah, leagues when we started.
There's a couple of Rovers fans that are really good on it.
Egg is a great
man for following your man.
He tagged someone random last night and I tried to find out who he was.
Bert Cassie,
who's he?
This guy is like Mr. UEFA coefficient.
Right.
I think his life is dedicated to coefficients.
Probably works for Football Manager or something.
I don't know what he does, but he's a great. Anyway, you'll have a good idea because I remember the time that, speaking of that Poltava time, we qualified for the third round, but whoever was in the Europa League final that year, I think it was like Porto and Braga.
That was in Dublin?
Yeah, so Porto had already qualified for Champions League, so by them winning that game, that qualified us for this third qualifying round. Right. Okay, but Egg knew that before. He tweeted about it, and a couple of journalists picked it up in Ireland that it actually could have implications. So I will keep an eye on it, and nothing will probably change between now and April or May.
It's going no. Save actually, your money. So the draw's not
save your money.
The draw won't be until the first week of June, probably second week of June.
And I should hopefully. I'll have about 6 or 7 vaccines in me at that stage, anyway.
Oh, you can say six or seven grand. No, that's good. Look, it's good to be cheerful after losing a cup semi-final, isn't it?
Again, I don't think I'd ever. I must say I was disappointed watching the game, probably just with the manner of when we conceded the goals.
But
I feel myself once we conceded the first goal, I'm not. No points. But yeah, I thought it was over. Like,
really, yeah, it was. We didn't need. We probably didn't need to do it that stage. But it's. I think it's just like again. All credit to the club for the timing of that tweet last night. I think it picked everybody up. And we're heading into next year with big positivity, I think.
Very good, yeah. Hopefully we'll be back. You're back training tomorrow night, actually, aren't you?
We are back. Thursday. No, we're going back Thursday.
Right, Thursday. So good to be back on the pitch. That's it. We'll get more about junior soccer and your return as well. And hopefully some transfers by the time we're out next week. Okay, Ross, you're up next. Shane Horgan. Hello, Ross. Rugby time.
Thank you, Adrian. Let's go. Yeah, rugby time. Good news. We're back tomorrow night on the paddock. Back to the restrictions. Groups of 15, non-contact. So, yeah, it's nice. Nice light at the end of the tunnel. We're all looking forward to getting back out there.
So you're doing two probably separate sessions, are you?
Yeah. Two separate sessions, two groups of 15. And we're just going to get back there tomorrow night.
What did we say last week? Did they say they'd be back playing games in January?
They've kind of been wishy-washy with the announcements. They've said to us that they anticipate that we'll be back playing games. Games, AIL in January. Now, they came out with the road map today and the restrictions and guidelines, but there's been one increase now that they've made a recommendation for anyone that isn't a player or a coach, if they're managers or what, they have to wear masks on the sideline.
Okay.
Yeah, or even when you're not coaching, if you're not involved with a drill, if you wear masks. So that's just some little new thing that's been added to the thing, but that's fine. We'll do what we need to do within the restrictions, and we're just going to get back into conditioning now and just building. We're planning for that. We'll be playing in the night.
Right. Funny one for you, actually. You said that I was supposed to mention it earlier and just came to my head there. I ate my lunch in Galway today watching Connacht Academy train.
Oh.
Yeah, Hubert Glavarius trend, actually.
Yeah, he is.
So that's what I done for about half. Yeah. Sorry if you're listening to Water Logic, my 15-minute lunch break.
Adrian's lunch.
Yum, 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 yum.
This week in the lunchbox.
Adrian reviews an air fryer.
I watched him train. So Hubert was there, and it seemed like they'd only 10 players out on the pitch.
The senior side were supposed to play Ospreys at the weekend, but it was called off with a COVID scare. So that's the third game Connacht have missed now since the restarts due to COVID. And I know, I think Leinster game was called off as well.
I just thought it was interesting watching them, that's the academy standard train. So it's just, I enjoyed it, actually, to be honest. And I enjoyed my chicken sandwich.
Lovely.
So, what else, Ross?
What else do we have? We just make note of a former player of ours, Dan Hawkins, over in, he's a Kiwi fellow, came and played for us in the 2011-2012.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was our first season back in the AIL, and Dan came over to us. Had a big impact. He's only a young fella at this stage now.
It's a good player.
He played well. We finished mid-table in our first season back, so Dan is a bit of a character, and I'm going to try and track him down for a chat in a few weeks.
You got a tail off the cuff there, no?
No. We'll leave that for when we get the chat to him. So, no, Dan was playing in the Mitre 10 Cup final, so it was a big achievement for him. Dan's played over 50 games for Northland in that competition.
That was on Sky Sports last Friday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were playing Hawke's Bay. Hawke's Bay won in the end, 36-24, but it was their first final in 23 years. That was nice for him. And then also just a shout out to Michael Wells and now the newly Rihanna Wells, former Sligo player.
Well known around Sligo, the two of them.
Yeah, lovely, absolutely lovely couple. So tied the knot there in the last couple of days. So health, happiness and congratulations from the Sligo Way pod. We might send over some bridal wife fronts.
Bridal wife fronts. Bachelor's wife fronts. Good couple, nice couple, yeah.
Lovely couple,
known for the glass house and around there.
Lovely.
Is he playing?
He was playing when he came back. Yeah, he's playing. He was playing Heartland, actually, which is the level below ITM.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was playing, I think, a little bit of Heartland when he went back there, and obviously playing some club.
Big
footy.
Loss to.
Yeah, Mike was sensational. Now he's one as good as they got in.
Happiness, health, and wife runs to all in New Zealand. Okay, Roscoe had Ireland match yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't great,
poor
was it?
Poor fare.
Yeah, that was one of the hardest Ireland matches that I've had to watch in a long, long time.
Do you think the style of play is because of Andy Farrell's rugby league background?
Yes and no. Like, Mike Catt is the newly installed attack coach, okay? Like,
confidence is a big part of it. Okay, so, like they started off the first kick of the game. Billy Burns put a chip in over the top. Okay, and it was relatively successful. And I just felt that the Georgian defense kind of smashed the life out of them. And I think it was the same against England as well. You know, as Mike Tyson always says, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face. Right. But I think that's kind of what Ireland had in the last couple of games as well, is that they had a game plan set out and then they just got mauled and then they just come back to normal.
It's just trucking it up, isn't it?
No, it's absolutely brutal, right? And look, it's not comparable, okay? Because we're nowhere near where we used to be at, nowhere near New Zealand. But I watched the Argentina-New Zealand match on Saturday morning, right? And, you know, it probably is a little bit comparable, Argentina, Georgia style of play to, you know, but we're not anywhere like New Zealand, but New Zealand did their homework. They came out, they assessed where the space is going to be, where Argentina was, and they mixed it up. You know, they got out the back door, they chipped it over the top. Like, you know, they came in there with a game plan and they executed it. Ireland just went in there as if, and the same against England, as if they didn't know how they were going to attack, as if they didn't know how they were going to have an aggressive, fast defensive line, and they just played into their hands. It's the on-field leadership for creating these opportunities or executing them. It's
very strange though. Like he's had them since the two final Six Nations games. Like
he is, yeah. And I mean, they keep talking about Sexton being out injured and Henshaw being out injured, but like we have players.
Ringrose, Larmour, I suppose as well. But like, I know they're four massive players, obviously.
Yeah, but it's just we keep doing the same things. Like if something clearly isn't working, why do you keep trying it?
Can the players play with Leinster and be able to do all this and that and then come?
But I think we're just going through a bit of a confidence crisis at the moment. It's like the heads are down. I think Farrell was disgusted after the match and the performance.
Scotland at home on Sunday.
Yeah.
So the third, fourth place type game, isn't it?
Well, I'd say we probably finished second in our group. Yeah, third, fourth. That's going to be a tough guy. Scotland probably going to that favourites.
And the Six Nations comes around then in February.
Now, the big thing is, okay, so there's no money on offer for this, okay? TV money for the broadcasting, okay, fair enough, right? But there's no rankings are counted for this as well, okay?
Why not? They're not tests.
They're test matches. They're not going towards your World Cup seed in the ranking, okay? So, okay, he's going to get a pass on this. He has blooded a lot of players. He's brought a lot of players in, okay? So he's going to get a pass on that, okay? There's some new young fellas coming through. Six Nations comes around, okay? The IRFU has made one of its biggest losses of all time.
Yeah.
It's going to need to get a good result there in that Six Nations.
England-France are home games.
Yeah, but, okay, so the thing about the England-France matches, okay, France are kind of held hostage to the club game in France. So they have had an agreement with the French clubs that they are only allowed to use players in three internationals, okay?
What?
And then they have to be released back to their clubs.
So each player can only play three internationals? Yeah, so you have to pick and choose your games.
France are pretty much putting out their B team against England now in the decider.
So they'll have certain good players available for the Six Nations next year.
Yeah, for next year. So they've used their quota of player appearances. So basically, this weekend France are into the Autumn Nations decider.
It's going to be
an absolute shadow team that they're putting out against England, who will be going into it fully loaded.
We did go with the French last week, didn't we, as well, or something?
Air traffic control strike.
Yeah. So that was it. But look, we might go down a little bit of memory lane.
Look at the equivalent of Andy Farrell in a different sport, Stephen Kenny.
Yeah.
Ridiculed and under pressure. And he hasn't won a game, so yeah. Gets a bit of that. If Farrell is a bad Six Nations...
No, that's it. Yeah, no, that's
it. Is he gone?
He potentially could be, yeah.
Shouted there, sorry.
Yeah, no, but potentially. There's definitely pressure on him. Like, Farrell, he hasn't had much out-and-out head coach experience.
It's not a new backroom team either. Like, Mike Catt's
come in. Schmidt's Easterby's reshuffled. I think Fogarty's still there, scrum coach. Mike Catt is the newest addition.
You're reckoning under pressure, so?
Mike Catt, at least.
The way the games are falling, like, England and France at home, they're not gimmies, obviously. Yeah. And then you have to go away to anyone.
It is a worrying state. It's a worrying state. No, the only saving grace, and I'm going to move on quickly, the only saving grace, I think, at the moment is Munster. Okay, look, Leinster are obviously doing really well, bringing through other camps, but I'm really loving the new youth coming through at Munster. Craig Casey, Ben Healy, even Gavin Coombs, like, you know, that's a new 8-9-10. That's the spine of your team. The young fella's coming through. Casey looks to be such a little exciting. He's like kind of the Aaron Smith kind of type player. And Ben Healy, the Shermanator is his nickname, actually. I think it's a great nickname.
What's the Shermanator? He says, An American play. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so he's coming through as well, and Gavin Coombs, you know, some nice bringing some players through. So let's see.
There should be a flair for the first time in a while as well, kind of.
Yeah, they are. They're scoring points.
Playing a bit more expansive.
So, but then to your man, the Aussie fella that they have in there.
Larkham.
Larkham is meant to be doing great things. But look, let's see some of them come into the side, but they're not going to blood them in the Six Nations.
No way, no. So he's under pressure.
He's under pressure. But look, just we're going to go back on the Georgia match, okay? Ah,
the Georgians. They got credit.
That was their best performance in the Autumn Cup. Like they're a stout, old, feisty bunch.
Soviet Union buckers.
They seem to like playing us, though.
Yeah, yeah, the World Cup, we struggled, I think we'll have to go on 10-7 or something.
Yeah, O'Gara didn't know where he was kicking that day.
Is that Stringer threw an
intercept?
Stringer
O'Driscoll fight at halftime in the change?
We were playing the Kilmacud Sevens at the time up in Kilmacud, and they ran out of Fat Frogs, and I blacked out, to be honest, in the Kilmacud bar. So, wow. The Georgians, go ahead.
Yeah, the Georgians. So, that brought me back memory lane. So, Adrian, you know this man.
Who do you know from Georgia?
Al Kaka. Kakabar.
Kakabar,
okay.
He played in the Rugby World Cup, didn't he?
So, yeah, to go into
I played with a guy in the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, you did.
Who played in the Rugby World Cup?
That's brilliant.
So did Ross, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So basically, we had a player that came to Sligo Rugby Club. This is back in the 2008 season. We had a guy rock up the training.
An absolute character now, Marty.
Couldn't speak English, right?
Only could have came to Sligo. He's one of them type.
He looked ancient as well. Like he looked ancient, okay? And he looked like kind of like, well, you know, when England won the Football World Cup, like they all have the
Nobby Styles.
Nobby Styles, kind of the comb overs and the ball. This is what he was like. He looked ancient, right? He'd never tell us what age he was. Joe watches us say, Kaka, what age are you? And he'd be like, 33. He's like, no more, 33. So I went back to look. So this guy came back to training, right? And it turned out he was in Globe House, right? He was a Georgian refugee. I don't know how he even got out to the rugby club, but he got out to train with us. And you could tell this fella had a bit of ball inside him.
Yeah.
His distribution was unbelievable. His kicking from hand was sensational, and his place kicking. So some wild rumours now, but the big rumour was that he was on the run from Georgia having murdered a police officer.
Ah, jeez, I never heard that one.
That was the rumour, at the time. So you don't know if this is like a little bit of spice, a little bit of Sligo thrown onto it then as well. So he came out to us anyways, and this is how far Sligo Rugby Club has come along, right? But it was our first game of the season, and we were playing Buccaneers seconds, okay? And we bet them 22-15, okay? And Kaka kicked everything, kicked Nicole, absolutely put on a masterclass like it. I'd never seen place kicking like it, okay? So Kaka did indeed. I googled him up here. He had 18 caps for Georgia, right? He played in
the 3 World Cup, was it?
He played in the 94 World Cup.
95.
Yeah, 95, yeah.
So he was in South Africa?
No. Was there not one? He played a game in Ireland. Was the
99.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because he played from 1989 to 1999. He got
in the 91 World Cup, so. 91,
I think it was 91, yeah. Where was 91?
That was in England, played a few home games.
Yeah. That's the one. In England, Ireland.
Yeah, that's the one. It was the 91 he played in, because he played from 1989 to 1999, it has there down.
Where was he?
Right, so here's the funny thing. So this is the funny thing, right? He had 18 caps over 10 years, right? 63 points. It says his date of birth on this rugby profiling was 1969. He was 39 when he played for Sligo. And I look back and did a bit of research. I was involved in the game he played in myself. I was on the bench. Paddy Pearson and Mata Fafita made their debut for Sligo in that same game that Mata...
That he was playing in.
That he played in, yeah. He made his debut. Ross Mannion was the captain at the time. Joe Walsh was the coach. Mata, he played a couple of games, did really well, but he was an absolute liability. He was like the monk, the red mist used to descend on him. Yellow cards, red cards. He was a lunatic, and he couldn't.
He's a fucker, though. Like, he played the seconds as well.
And he played seconds the next day, but like we're playing in matches, right? And he'd high tackle a fella, like WWE flying clothesline. And then like to the referee trying to like protest his innocence when a fella's decapitated on the ground, right? So he got the red card one day, wouldn't leave the pitch. He had to be walked off the pitch, right? So the match goes on anyways, and he left the sin bin, right, to go down to the bottom of the pitch to where the players were, and came from behind the goalpost back onto the pitch to go attacking the fullback that he got into the row with again. Came back in. So this is an absolute wild man altogether. But Adrian, you were playing in this match. We're down in Westport playing against the Westport Seconds, and Kaka was playing... And he didn't have much English with him at all. Now he had a couple of phrases.
That was outrageous.
So the referee goes, "All right, who's your number 10? And we're like, "Yeah, there he is over there." referee goes into a big long-winded description, like, you know, I want you to do this, keep your defense line here and all this and like, you know, whatever. It was, do you understand? And the Kakas goes, 180.
He kept shouting.
Yeah, all you could say was 180. Then all of us in the changing room, then as soon as he said it, the referee's like, ah, fuck you, shite.
That was song crack. That was that game. We picked up Horn. Fergus Horn played that day.
Yeah.
We picked up a load of lads and went.
He wasn't supposed to be playing, right? And his dad heard it in the radio.
He was out with Sligo at the times, didn't he? Like, and we were out in Tossing before.
Didn't we rang into the Ocean FM saying that Fergus kicked all the points?
It was a front row at one stage of me, Staff, and Fergus Horn.
Oh,
Bellew scored the best try yet. Bellew,
Bellew was playing as well. It's ridiculous, yeah.
We were out in Tossing night four, and it's like, oh, there'll be much second between Warren. And like, we also all went to house party. Oh, we'll go. The bus is picking up at the carrier station 10 o'clock. Yeah. So we all went. I went to Dunn's. And God, you can still get them in Dunn's actually. Magnums of Heineken. They look like the Man the Match awards you get. Like,
oh, yeah.
So the, in CAC, the wee fake percentage of Man CAC.
Yeah, the plan of the match, the formal man presentation. Yeah, so.
And he thought it was like, ah, it was.
So then we got the bus back to Sligo, got dropped off, and then he was just heading off by the Garda station
with a Magnum of Heineken up the road. Like,
where did he end up?
So obviously back then, our senior team was playing in the Connacht J1A, okay? So you can only imagine what division our second team were playing back then.
Jesus.
So
it was brutal. It was, yeah. Like that Westport team, how did we beat them?
J2 or something like that. Or
fellas on the beer who never played rugby in their lives.
Yeah.
Beating an adult team.
And that was their first thing.
And then wasn't it? Yeah. So we texted into Ocean FM that Fergus scored.
Ocean,
and then Martin Horn lost the plot when he heard it.
Right, yeah, Martin Horn rang Fergus on the bus.
Are you playing rugby?
Got a very good rugby roundup, Ross.
Yeah. Shout out to Kaka.
Shout out to Kaka. Murty, you had something there.
About what?
Rugby.
Did I?
A jacket or something.
Oh, yeah. Tell Paddy Pearson I have a jacket in the car. I'll bring it next Tuesday.
Right.
Monday, whatever we're recording. Right.
Paddy Pearson, if you're listening, Mert has a jacket. I'll get it for you.
Right, okay. Sligo head coach, Paddy Pearson. Mert has your jacket. Very good, Rossi. Enjoy that trip down Georgian memory lane.
That was fantastic stories there.
Okay, we're back with the dancer, lads.
Oh, the Sligo dancer. There's a Kaylee in the tavern. Come on in.
Drive the ball down the field,
what are
you doing?
Okay, I'm a headache from laughing, to be honest. Sligo Dancer lads, effed up last week by not putting our poll out.
We're double dancing.
Double dancing. We'll try and put last week's poll out tonight, maybe.
Put it out tonight and then.
And then
Sunday for the.
Sunday, yeah, the usual time for those ones. So, who is going to be this week's Sligo Dancer lads? A few prestigious winners beforehand. I'm going to go first. I am going to nominate the Four Lanterns, lads. I know it's a bit not been a copycat with Murty's Mandarin Court, but as I said, they're back. First time I had them last week since the reopening. So I'll give Four Lanterns the shout. Nice touch.
You'd
nice
do anything for a win, wouldn't you?
Fuck. Nice touch, though. Happy these white ones are going to you. Go, Ross.
Just spoke about it during the rugby wrap-up. So, Kaka, you mad bastard. Georgian player, wherever in the world you are right now, you're my Sligo Dancer of the Week.
What's his full name?
Kakavar Michadzi.
Kakavar Michadzi, if you're listening.
Wherever you are.
That's our spy from the KGB that got us into the Sligo County Board meeting.
We'll get our man, Felix Dejezny.
Ah, Dejezny. Right, Murty.
For my Dancer of the Week, I'm going to go a bit... How would you say this? A bit different. I'm going to go for left field. That's the word. Two words I was looking for. I'm going to go with the Air CEO, Caroline Lennon.
Oh, yeah. Lennon. Very popular woman around Sligo.
Yeah, very popular woman around Sligo. I liked the fact that it takes a lot, well, it doesn't actually take much, but the whole of Sligo Twitter got up in arms at her in about an hour, I'd say.
I didn't get involved, no.
No, I didn't get involved myself, but she was apologising within 2 hours. And like, I've seen a headline today where she's been described as gaff prone. So, like,
as what?
She's like, she's now gaff prone.
Whoopsie. I think you said gaff porn and it's some weird, like. So, Caroline Lennon
is her name.
Tano, she wins. You'll put a special message in hers, will you? Yeah. Okay, that's the dancer, lads. Lock of the week coming up.
To be Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right.
Welcome to Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week. Disappointing last week, lads. A bad reaction.
No, we went for the big one.
Scolded. We went back. Yeah, we went for the big one. We said we'd go for it. Scolded on Twitter.
So we'll go back to our roots this time.
Yeah. We will.
We've been studying by the lampshade here out in Clooney. Really putting our wits together about this one. I fancy this one now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're back. We're going to be back.
What's up? Let's go.
Back to my usual style. I'm going to go Scotland plus 9.
Plus 9.
Yeah.
Against Ireland.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. In the rugby. Yeah. Plus 9. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked in the rugby, Ireland. Not all going well. Unless they're suddenly clicking the gear with Scotland, are going all right themselves.
Scotland doing all right at the moment. Yeah. So
they won't fear come to Dublin. So, okay. Scotland plus 9. I'm going GAA football again. I've had two losers in a row since I went hurling. Mayo Tipperary, All Ireland semi final on Sunday. I know Tipperary got all the plaudits beating Cork, but they were brutal against Limerick, I thought, Division 4 side. Mayo, you don't know what you're going to get, but they won a first Connacht in 5 years. So I'm going to do Mayo to win by 7 or more. I know it seems a lot in winter football, but I think they've goals in Tommy Conroy. O'Connor will get a few points. O'Shea's due a goal. So Mayo at 7 to win by 7 or more.
Yeah.
2-1.
So that's, minus 6 points, basically.
Minus 6.5.
Yeah. So minus 6.5. So Ross's selection is 10 to 11. That's Scotland plus 9. Ados is 2-1. Mayo minus 6. And I'm going to go a bit earlier in the week this week, lads. But my last winning selection, the day we got the bet up, was on a Thursday.
Yeah, it was earlier.
So I'm going to go for AC Milan minus a goal against Celtic. That is even money. And I've heard that things been buying money before, but Celtic are an awful shambles.
Celtic dire straits.
Milan, I think no need to talk about it too much. Milan minus 1. Yeah, even money.
What's that bring
so a tenner on that will return €114.55. So we're just looking at just shy of 10.5 to 1.
Very good. Hopefully we'll keep some of the crowd happy out there. And before we go, lads, last bit of correspondence in, Murty. You have it there, do you?
Oh, yeah, I don't. But
I thought it was sent to you.
I had the bet up. One second now.
Tick,
tick, tick, tick, tick, tick. Yeah, anyway, it came in from Paul Shooter Kelly. Hold on until I get the actual message.
We're in no panic, lads.
Well, we've only been here for 3 hours at this stage.
Yeah, missed the match. I plan to watch at home, but...
Okay, sorry. Sorry about that delay, lads. So this came in from Paul Kelly. Sorry, Paul, we only seen it there when we were at the end of our correspondence section. So this is basically for the three of us. Great to hear wrestling talk last week. Do you think wrestling in Sligo will ever reach the highs of 2015-2016? Two events with over $5,000 raised and 300 odd in attendance. That's from Paul Kelly, the first ever SCW Hardcore Champion, which is a prestigious title.
Heady days in the Southern Hotel.
Southern Hotel,
Sligo Championship Wrestling.
SCW.
You were both there for both of them.
I was at both of them,
SCW.
Great night out by all accounts.
Brilliant. There was a casket match. Where would you get it? Michael Lang, and I'm not sure where he was called, taking on Gino as the Undertaker.
No, he wasn't Mankind.
I'm not sure.
Paul Kelly was Mankind.
And Love was the Undertaker, sorry. Gino was the Big Show, of course, putting fellas through tables.
He was Big Show / Hulk Hogan, though, as well.
No, I've done a few. Look, he's the mayor. it was excellent,
I'd love to see that happen again. I think...
I can't believe it. Is it actually 5 years?
It's 2015 and 2016, Paul's saying here,
They did one...
Jesus.
A year ago.
Did they?
They did one a year ago, 100%, Sean Mullen was in it. As John Cena.
Oh yeah, that was longer than a year ago, Ross. Definitely. Mullen was in the one I watched as well, Sean Mullen was Cena.
2 years.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah, good times.
I hope when things get back to normal, I think that will be a great event.
SCW is still on the thing. We could do live commentary.
Yeah.
Ross, JR.
Paul, Gino, if you set it up, we will be there.
Get in contact, lads. Sligo with Podcast and SCW collab. We're talking about getting Gino on air anyways, aren't we?
We'll try our best. We'll give him a message this week.
Yeah, lads, that was a... We were going to have an interview this week, but couldn't have got it in because that was just a packed show of name drops, serious talk, and good crack now, lads. My jaws are sore. So I think we'll leave for that week. Episode 5 done, lads. See you later.
Yep, see you next week.
Oh, thank you to Tansy on sound. And also, if you're following us on Spotify, if you're on Spotify, Ross...
Hit the follow button. We're going to try and get into the charts. So if people are following the show, it'll put us up the rankings.
Right.
Much obliged.
We want to be going to Europe. Okay, thanks, lads. See you next week.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second.
The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers at your back.
By the riverside, it can match the tide.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary tried to and drive it clean out over the gate. Oh, he's a heel of the corn, isn't he?
In the bookie shop, I don't need a...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.